This is your radio home for New York Rangers hockey.
Cal Panarin moves in, shoots, scores!
The Blue Shirts are here. WEPN-FM, New York.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24-7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky. That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN. On this Wednesday, January 19th, 2022, I'd like to start off by saying that ENN's brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. Also, let's say good evening to Michael.
Bing bong that.
And to Don.
You're a loser. You're a loser.
And to myself. Oh, then I'll be nude from 6:30 to 7. And I believe it was another Michael.
Then I'm going to sit down, kick my leg up, Saturday and Sunday, roll a blunt, and enjoy the games.
You know what was lost
in that whole thing, Peter, was that Callie was going to roll the blunt.
That came later.
Yeah.
But I will say this, though. People love it because it sounded so sincere. You know what I mean?
But it's not.
I'm
not a pot advocate. But I will kick my legs up and enjoy the game, maybe nude.
I would love for you to be nude and roll a blunt during the game. That would be, I think, showing me something.
Maybe next year's bet, okay?
Here we go.
This could be good, that I will smoke a blunt.
Oh, that'd be so good. But again, it would be like, you know, him winning when losing, right, Peter?
Yeah. And now I get to have a really interesting, fun experience and eat a big ice cream sundae.
I've heard a lot of people have anxiety attacks when they do it.
Hey, well, you would observe. Well, you know what, though? You already have so much anxiety.
Right.
That it might do the opposite for you.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Michael becomes like Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Can you imagine how much our lives would change, Don?
Oh, and the show. Just the whole tenor of the show.
All of a sudden, Ballard and Kay are hanging out on the weekend.
Is Ballard a weed guy?
No, I didn't say that. But I just mean you guys would have similar and different interests.
Michael.
You know?
Michael going to all the fish shows at the Garden.
With Wachusen.
With Wachusen.
Yeah.
The Wheeze. Troy
and
Aikman.
And Sia would turn to, yeah, later, dude.
That's tough. and then, by the way, imagine the impression Carlos Correa could do.
Ah, perfect.
Troy Aikman was on 96.7. There, that's the ticket. He was critical of Dallas's offense versus San Francisco.
They've mixed in some coverage, but there was a lot of single coverage on CeeDee Lamb. It was back when I was playing, and I hate going back to that point because nobody cares, but what I see around the leagues, not just Dallas, it was in Philadelphia, I've seen it with a lot of teams, that a lot of these offenses, they want to scheme things. The coordinators just, it's all about scheme. Rather than this corner is playing soft, he's scared to death, just run the route tree. Irvin would have had 10 catches at halftime if they had played us the way that they played CeeDee Lamb. The game's not that difficult. If I've got a great player at wide receiver and a corner is playing him single coverage, throw him the ball. Yeah. You know, he's going to win most of the time.
That doesn't bode well for Kellen Moore.
Well, just the fact that thought process is there from someone like Troy Aikman?
Well, I mean, it's right in front of the offensive coordinator. It doesn't have to be Dak. It's right there. He's the one calling the play.
That's true, but sometimes it's reliant on Dak seeing that as well and being able to change the play to that. Yeah, the offensive coordinator can see it, but in real time, going to the line of scrimmage, he should also be able to see, hey, I got single coverage, something that I didn't think we'd have at the huddle. I got to change it up. You know, because the offensive coordinator can't really do much. They're shutting off the communication once they break the huddle. You know, so that's on Dak, too, to see that.
Now, Dak Prescott did have an interesting statement yesterday. He apologized for his statement about officials on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair, he put on social media. So
it felt right.
What do you mean, in the moment?
Well, I mean, we've read these statements, and there's just like a feel like that it felt genuine to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, that's a reasonable excuse. He didn't say something evil. He just said when he found out that debris was being thrown at referees and just said, oh, good on them, or credit to them, credit to them. And then to afterwards say, I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss. My words were uncalled for and unfair. That's all you had to say. I'm
now, the only thing that's a little bit of a fly in the ointment here is that came right after the officials, you know, the officials union or association, they released a statement really saying that it was terrible what he said. But I think it came from a good place. It wasn't one of these, homogenized sort of apologies. It sounded like he meant it.
Also, like, you got to allow people, you got to, the same way we all did not give the benefit of the doubt to AB when he had his situation just happen with the Bucks. You got to do the opposite with Dak Prescott. You know, he's never given anyone any reason to not give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right, exactly.
You know what the problem is with this, guys? And it's unsolvable. The worst time that these guys should be talking is after a loss like that, like so close after the loss. There's so much emotion that they can't answer things without emotion.
Yeah.
But the media has to have that information right away to write their stories and make their reports. It's tough to lose a game like that and then go in front of like a room full of people that are asking you questions.
Yeah, it's so funny how we as fans and media perceive things, right? We want these guys to feel it. We want these guys to care. Well, part of caring, the negative byproduct of it, is what happened to Dak. What happened with Leon Draisaitl yesterday? When they are into it, they're going to be aggravated. They're going to be pissy. They're not going to want to answer questions. And then we applaud the guys that handle it so well. But you know what? You know how hard it is to care that much and then be able to flip a switch and be so nonchalant in the interview and carry yourself right. That's how we are, right, Michael? You talk about how passionate we are. We would be terrible in the post-game interview because we'd be so upset with our loss. But that never gets taken into consideration when we rip these guys.
Speaking of the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy says he's operating under a business-as-usual mindset after meeting twice with ownership. That's Jerry Jones to you and me, following the loss to the 49ers.
It's going to get Jerry Jones' attention that everybody wants Dan Quinn. So I wouldn't lease long-term if I was Mike McCarthy.
We had very positive conversations, and just the focus is on the evaluation process, he said. This is on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. EVP of the Cowboys, Stephen Jones, a.k.a. Baby Jones, or Jerry Jr., he said,
there is actually a Jerry Jr.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
He said, absolutely and very confident when asked whether McCarthy would return for a third season. McCarthy's 18-15 in the regular season in two seasons. 12-5, of course, this year up until that loss last week.
Interesting stuff from Dan Orlovsky, too. Feels that they're all just a byproduct of the division they play in. And you got six games in your division. They were 6-0. So you go to another division that's tougher. You go from 6-0 to 3-3, you're a 9-win team. You might not make the playoffs.
Devontae Adams. The Green Bay Packer, great, who I have to admit, you know, Ballard has been screaming about Devontae for years. Have to admit, this guy at this point is really getting to be the absolute class of the NFL when it comes to wide receiver.
You're talking about Devontae, not Ballard, right?
No, Ballard's the absolute class of something as well. But Devontae, talking to the media, said he's appreciative of the Green Bay media after he won their Stand-Up Guy Award for the third straight year.
This group here, the guys that are kind of around day to day, you know, y'all have made me feel good about coming in here and doing this with you and asking good questions. You know, even when you have to ask some of the tougher questions that you got to ask, you know, I feel like y'all are, you know, you treat me like a human being. So it feels good to feel that. And then it makes it just a lot more fun to come in here and just chat with y'all and you know, give you the real me. I just try to be me. I like to think that's what it is. I just come in here and I just really just have a conversation with y'all.
I always hearken back to something that Dave LaPointe, former major league pitcher, said to me. He said, I'm telling you, it's so much easier to be nice. He said, you actually have to work to be a jerk. You have to work. You have to go out of your way to be a jerk. He said, and if you're nice, the media is going to give you the benefit of the doubt, even if you're just average. Now, if you're terrible, they got to say you're terrible. And if you're great, like Steve Carlton, he didn't say this, I'm saying it, and you don't talk to the media, they still have to say you're great because you're great. But most people are average. And if you're a good guy to them, they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. He said, and it's harder to be a jerk. Most people in sports, though, they kind of lean toward jerk.
And I thought about this yesterday too, with the Draisaitl in Edmonton. It's easy to say, well, he's in Green Bay. You know, I wonder if he'd have the same opinion if he was in New York or L.A., like a bigger media market. Sometimes I think those places are tougher, Michael, because the Packers are a religion there. There's never anything bigger than the Packers. No offense to the Brewers or the Bucks. But when the Packers do something, everyone pays attention. When you go to some of these major markets, how often, Michael, is one team the story? Like, there's always distractions. There's always other things going on. In Green Bay, what's going on bigger than the Packers? When they play, nothing else matters. So if he drops a pass or he has a problem, that whole market is all over it.
Retail cheese prices. A lot of talk around the cheese price. Dairy. Just general dairy conversation.
During a Packer game is really the optimum time to rob homes in Green Bay.
Well, because everyone's at the game?
Everybody's there. I mean, look at the population of the town, and then look at how many people are in Lambeau Field. It just doesn't match. So most people are out of their houses.
Let's see. Population of Green Bay. 100,000. Well,
and what? And so Lambeau's what, 80,000? 78,000?
Oh, I don't even know.
Lambeau seating capacity is 81,441.
Wow.
So there's only 19,000 people breathing that are not at the game.
But the thing is, there's a lot of out-of-towners.
Yeah, they're rather popular.
Everybody,
I'm telling you,
Lambeau.
Don, it's the time to rob right
there. Well, let's do it.
I don't want to do it. I'm not a criminal.
I don't know. You brought it up. It's obviously on your mind.
Well, I have evil thoughts, but I don't act on them. That's the beauty of me.
By the way, Michael's 15th book, it's not a biography. It's a novel. And it's called A Time to Rob. Wow, it's going to be thrilling.
Yeah. So if you want to steal a television set that's got like the big ones that they had from 30 years ago.
Oh yeah, with the rabbit.
If you want to steal a lamp of a Packer helmet. If you want to steal a couch that's got like the plastic covering over it.
With like
a
Packers blanket.
Can I tell you something, Peter? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So what I said is I'm insane. Okay. What he said is insulting to everyone who lives in Green Bay.
No, he's ripping. He's ripping.
Like, they don't have flat screen TVs. Only Don
and his
mansion.
That's
what you think. No, it's kidding on the square. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, listen, every joke has a little truth to it. We're just having some fun. I mean,
classic
listen, if you're
on
from
the
Green Bay, listen, I offended you. I'm sorry. You know, if you want to get a nice, like, if you want to steal, like, a
Packers blanket.
Betamax machine, if you want
to. He's doubling down.
Like, Don, you know what you're stealing from there?
Tabletop tape recorders.
No, not only that. This is a big one. The Sports Illustrated helmet phone.
That's right.
Have painted Green Bay as a cosmopolitan city.
An old beat up copy, a beat up copy of Dorf on Golf.
Wow, I mean, just wow. I'm offended.
An NFL bloopers cassette.
Yeah,
they're all there.
Some woman's like half finished cat puzzle, sitting on the dining room table.
Is awful. The rotary phone ripped right off the wall.
Oh yeah, huge stash of granny panties. All you can handle. Take the whole drawer.
You could go into the you can go into the garage and get, you know, the manual lawnmower, like the push lawnmower.
Now listen,
the blades spin.
If you happen to score and go to the right house, the McDougal household, and get into the garage. You're walking with a Michelob Ultra light-up sign that's sitting in the garage.
No. It's Schlitz.
That's all right, Chris Canty was speaking earlier about just how good Derrick Henry is as he heads into this game against Cincinnati this weekend, even if he's not at 100%.
even if he can't cut, if he's running straight downhill, he is a bowling ball of knives that nobody on that Bengals defense wants to tackle. And if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator, I'm willing to take my chances with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown beating me, because you know what? I know that 22 can beat me.
That's his fifth book, Bowling Ball of Knives.
That's a good one also.
Yeah.
It's a good point, though, from a coverage standpoint, because at least you'd think that your defensive backs could have a chance. Do you have a chance to stop Derrick Henry if you don't load the box?
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
Oh, no. It's been a year.
Yeah, that's probably the year anniversary. It might be
right around now.
The 1 year anniversary.
Maybe we can get that when you read the announcers on Friday. Although Friday there might not be announcers because it's a 6:30 show.
I'll have to speed. Don't you worry.
I think the whole ENN has to be announcers.
It's only four games though.
We got to cover the playoff announcers. Now, speaking of the NFL playoffs, CBS Sports and Nickelodeon's broadcast of the Cowboys and Niners on Sunday was the most watched NFL wildcard game on any network in 7 years. It averaged 41.5 million viewers. The audience peaked at 50 million.
That's crazy.
What is it about the Cowboys? It's amazing.
Well, just football in general. Because all the games, even the putrid games, did like 30 million people. You know, you can't get a game 7 in the NBA, World Series, NHL. You can't, like, not even close, not even half. It's, and you can't just say it's gambling, which was always the thing you fell back on. You can gamble on everything now.
Yeah, but football's made for gambling. Well, the other sports are different to gamble on. Nah, football's perfect to gamble on. Perfect.
But that shouldn't double.
No, you're right, because game 7 of a World Series might get 11 million. This is a wild card game that peaked at 50 million. None of the sports are in the same realm.
And I think part of it, too, I was talking about with Andrew earlier, that when you get to a game 7 in the other sports, you don't have a lot of time to promote it because you don't know there's going to be a game 7 until game 6 is decided, right? Where you have a whole week to anticipate these games and build up these games and talk about them, and there's nothing usually up against it. But that helps tremendously.
Now, all the people that said angrily that they were done with football, with the Kaepernick stuff, they were never going to watch again, did they lie, or we've got new fans? Or how did this happen? Or were they just, like, fibbing?
I think the league survived.
Well, they were fibbing, Michael. But how come this never gets brought up? And maybe Peter can answer this better than anybody. Could there have been somebody that maybe wasn't a fan of football that liked how political it got and said, I like how woke these guys are. I think I'm going to follow this sport.
Not to this level.
I'm talking about a ton of people, because I really never bought anybody saying they were going to walk away. But for the handful of people that did, I'll never watch a football again, could have been replaced by people that go, hey, you know, I like what Colin Kaepernick did. I think I'm going to follow this sport. But I don't think anybody walked away.
I don't think anyone did what you just said.
Okay.
Not one. Yeah, I like this. Yeah, this is a message I'm here for. I'm gonna watch. I don't think so. It's just so popular. These numbers are incredible because.
But it's not like the other sports aren't popular. I mean, everybody knows, like, the NBA. They follow the NBA. NBA is immensely popular. Everybody knows who LeBron James is.
Here's the bottom line.
Would 50 million people watch a Laker game on national television in Game 7? No.
Here's the bottom line, and if you disagree with me, you're just plain wrong, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
All right.
The NFL is head and shoulders above every other sport when it comes to turning on a random game you have no rooting interest for and enjoying it.
I have another bottom line.
Nothing comes close. Baseball, basketball, hockey, nothing is like the NFL. If two NFL teams are playing, unless they're the worst teams in the league, and even then, it's not too bad to watch it.
To me, the NFL is a mirror of our society. Angry, physical, violent, aggression. It's everything that people are now. You can't get enough. It's the closest thing to Hunger Games that you can see.
True.
If you had Hunger Games, if you had Kat Everdeen, they would get 50, 60 million if people were hunting down other people. This is the closest thing you get to it.
That's a very macabre and dark opinion. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's way out there.
Yeah.
But also, it's part of our culture, maybe not so much in this area, but you know how many, how much a percentage of this country that like football from peewee to high school, how cities and towns shut down to see the high school football game? Like, it probably represents our country in that way, too, that it's just ingrained in all of us.
Don, drive around your exclusive enclave where you live, and on a Saturday or Sunday, everybody's playing soccer. Soccer's not getting anywhere close to that.
No, but I don't think towns are shutting down because the high school team is playing a game. Well, but on a Friday night in the entire state of Texas, there are people that on Friday night shut down everything to go see the local high school play.
And that
like we don't do it here,
rob.
But in Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi,
that's the time to rob there, Peter, in those places.
The time
to rob Friday in Texas.
What number book is that?
That's the sequel to the other one that Peter mentioned.
Actually, that's Michael's first
novel,
first fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just telling stories. He's just telling stories.
Oh, I'm going to pump out books like you don't believe.
Oh, wow.
Yes is leaving us in 18 seconds, Peter.
Is that right?
Yeah, because we have a net bullet game coming up, coverage of that.
Well, wait a minute.
Well, we'll tell you what.
Not bullet. I'm sorry, Wizards.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Tell you what.
That has been done in a decade at least.
Goodbye, Yes. We'll see you tomorrow.
So long, Yes. You guys want to do a couple more on the other side?
I feel
it. Go on. You're early. Go.
Okay.
The moral imperative.
Imperative.
A little bit more from the world of football. The Browns estimate that Baker Mayfield's recovery from surgery, which he had today, is 4 to 6 months.
Oh.
They expect him to start throwing in April. He should be able to participate in off-season programs. And they expect a full recovery by the start of training camp.
Well, the guy lives at the stadium, so he's always going to have rehab going on.
And Mayfield
the question
said,
is what training camp?
What do you mean? Oh.
Is he going to be back?
He said surgery, exactly, who's training camp? Surgery went great, was a complete success, he said in a video. Now it's on the road to recovery. It's one of those steps to get back to my true self. This is not the end of my story. Good for him.
Yeah.
I sort of think Baker is one of those guys that The football media has been so wishy-washy on. It's like one week everyone's in, the next week everyone's out. He was so hyped, then he's so maligned. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, guys. I think Baker Mayfield will probably land, like we just talked about, a guy who's not super-duper special but, frankly, is better than most options people have. I don't think he's not going to be Mitch Trubisky.
No.
I don't know if he'll make it to Dak either, so that maybe you consider that just middling.
I actually believe, Peter, that he's judged as harshly as he is because he's just so ubiquitous on TV.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
I mean, it doesn't help him at all. I mean, he's on every commercial when you watch a game. He's on constantly. So people almost have, like, Baker Mayfield overload.
That's a good point.
Think of the guys that do that, Mahomes, Rodgers, those are amazing quarterbacks that nobody's ever going to question, but then he doesn't seem he belongs in that.
He's not. He's an advertiser level that does not equal his talent level.
By the way, I totally give credit to Aaron Rodgers for playing the jerk version of him in the game show commercials.
Is it really the jerk version of him or the accurate one?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's like he's really just being himself is what it feels like. But I feel like he's still leaning into what he knows people think about him, which I found, at least.
Well, he also does the man bun in
which
those
is
commercials.
Awful.
Don's not a fan of the bun.
I don't get it. Just wear a ponytail. Wear it long. Man bun, I don't understand. What are you trying to be?
Peter and I don't understand your hair.
Yeah, I feel you and where man bun are the exact same place. You know? They're both.
Really?
They're both an aging lady, you know?
With a Sports Illustrated football phone.
Yeah, you have the haircut of the lady who has the football phone. If you were to go rob a house in Green Bay, Michael, during the playoff game, you might steal Don.
Yeah.
He'd be in one of those homes.
Yeah.
You could pick up Don.
He'd be sitting
in that. You know what else you could steal in the Green Bay home?
What's that?
you know, the singing fish, the mounted singing fish.
Oh, yes.
From The Sopranos.
Oh. And, you know, Don would be, Don, you'd come into the house and Don would be there, right? And he'd be on that upholstered recliner that has years of stains from his body, you know, all the stuff that he ate and sweated out. And he's just sitting there in his own filth. And he lets you rob everything because he doesn't have the energy to get up. Couldn't go to Lambeau that day.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, the NFL has fined Bruce Arians $50,000 for striking his own safety, Andrew Adams. Arians said, he was asked about it, he said, I'll appeal it, and it ain't got nothing to do with the game, so we're good. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, he's old school.
If you didn't see it, Adams was like appeared like he was going to be getting into the fray in what could have been a fight, and Arians kind of just jumped at him and smacked him in the head, in the helmet. It definitely was inappropriate.
Channeling a little Bobby Knight there.
A little
Woody Hayes.
I don't know if it's $50,000 worthy, but I see why something was done. It's certainly not a precedent that you want is coaches hitting their players on television. That will do it. Actually, no. Let's go back in time, actually. Let's first go back to this day. January 19th, 2002, 20 years ago.
Blitz. Lost the football. It's on the ground. Covered by the Raiders.
His college teammate, Charles Woodson, on the blitz.
The question is, did he pull it down? His arm was going forward, but was he throwing a football?
Well, the exact term I can't think of, but if you throw a pass, if it slipped out of your hand, that would be an incomplete pass.
Reviewing the play, the quarterback's arm was going forward. It is an incomplete pass. Second and 10 on the 42.
Wow.
Started the Patriot dynasty.
20 years ago.
Wow.
The Tuck rule. And one more as we close this thing out. This day in 2014.
Let's send him down to the field and get Aaron Edwards.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe, back over to you.
All right, well, we saw...
What a great follow by her.
Yeah,
who said that?
Yeah, everything about what Aaron did there was perfect. That'll do it for ENN. It's brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try Hennessy Playmaker or the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
You got to stay tuned because I have unbelievable nuggets coming up, and we'll take your phone calls.
I love
as well.
Nuggets.
Some of these things I'm going to say, you're going to go, wow, really? Wow, really? That's what we have.
Two
up.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I might be four.
Okay. Wow, yeah. Really? Yeah. Wow, really? Wow, really? Wow, really?
One more.
No, wow. That was four.
Okay, good. We'll have all four of those coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.